Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Preds win on Thursday night at Chicago. Preds win Sunday afternoon at Winnipeg, 1-0. And, of course, two straight wins on the road in the division as Pecorine scores a goal on Thursday night for the first time in his career and the first time in the NHL since 2013. So we'll talk about that momentarily. But the Titans' huge win, 28-12 over the Ravens on Saturday night, is the story that I honestly, for maybe 20 years in this town, that win over Baltimore is one of the biggest stories I can remember. Darren McFarlane joining us here, of course, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, coming up at 10, top of the hour. Darren, just try to put it into perspective. You obviously, like me and Derek, were here covering the Preds during the run to the Stanley Cup. I was in high school when they went to the Super Bowl and when Derek was on that team. There's been a few other sports stories in Nashville that would equate, but can you try to put into perspective what the Tennessee Titans have done historically in Nashville sports, what the run they're on right now?
Well, for all the new people that have been here and haven't been here for a long period of time, I mean, when these two teams were in the same division and they played each other twice a year, and certainly Derek knows this, I mean, just Jeff Fisher was the head coach. Ravens game and the Steelers game were the two games. I mean, everything stopped when the Ravens were coming to town or the Titans were playing the Ravens or the Steelers were coming to town or the Titans were playing the Steelers. Those were the two games, and people could not get enough discussion, talk, banter, whatever you want, smack talk, whatever you want to dole out between the two fan bases and the media and everything. But those were the games, and certainly the Ravens games have a little extra oomph to them because of the longer playoff history between the Titans and the Ravens, or the Steelers came here and it was the Joe Nedney game and the Titans got the big win in the playoffs over the Steelers. But the Ravens had that extra, you know, whatever to it just because they had some just, I mean, snot bubble games over the years. And, you know, it was, the game was different back then and the defenses were so nasty and they were so physical. You know, it's what we all grew up watching, those type of games. And so it's crazy to sit here today and know in the four playoff appearances between these two teams, a home team has yet to win one. That's crazy to me, considering the domination the Titans have had back then, especially at home, and how good the Ravens have been at home historically over the years in Baltimore, and yet the home team has yet to win in these four playoff games. So what's the significance? I mean, it's the AFC Championship game, so that's huge, and it's been a long time since we've talked about that in this market. But I also kind of want to see what happens, if they can keep this going. I mean, this, who knows? This could turn into 3 years ago with the Preds, right? Come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, I mean, this team was 2-4. I mean, no one has seen this coming. I've missed it. If somebody saw this coming, I apologize. But I've missed all those people that were calling these shots. So I want to see if they can keep this train rolling.
Yeah, it would be remarkable if they can continue to win games and win in a fashion that they're winning in against the teams that they're playing, whether it be Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson and now Patrick Mahomes. It would be, you know, remarkable if they can get all three of these wins and end up ultimately in a Super Bowl. Now, the Nashville Predators, obviously they've changed coaches, and that first game, which I don't really count on his record because he didn't have time to practice with, you know, coach a practice, but he had to coach a game. So I don't put that loss on him so much. But since then, this team has done a really good job from a defensive standpoint. And that's what he came in and said, we got to get better defense up the middle in regards to this Nashville Predator team. Are they accomplishing that? And if so, do you think this is the new norm now for them?
Well, let's hope so, because it looks pretty darn good. I mean, they've given up two goals in two games on the road against divisional foes. That's pretty impressive. Going to Winnipeg yesterday afternoon and pitch a 1-0 shutout against the Jets, you know, who certainly don't have a problem scoring. That was impressive. They went into Chicago, took care of business. They jumped on them early, and they got the 3-0 lead in the first period. And Chicago started climbing back into it. And Chicago had that pushback. And what have we been talking about all year on these shows? This Monday hit, Mondays at 9 o'clock. Just sometimes when they get in these certain stretches of certain games where the opponent just takes over and the Predators can't recover. Well, what did John Hines do, especially with the power play goal by DeBrincat in the third period early on? Chicago, all of a sudden, now it's a one-goal game. It's 3-2. John Hines, 5.5 minutes in the third period, calls a timeout. All right, settle down. Gathers up the troops. He leads the charge in the timeout. You can see him. Everybody's huddled around him. They come out and they take care of business and they finish things off. And they get a couple late goals, a couple empty netters late, and skate away with a 5-2 victory. That's what people want to see. Obviously, the play in front of the net has been better. Goaltending play has been better. Defense has been better. I think maybe yesterday was a sign that special teams is getting better penalty kill-wise, because Winnipeg is very good on the power play. I know they only had two cracks at it, but, it's trending upward. It's a small sample. It looks good. We'll see how they can finish up this road trip in Edmonton tomorrow night against a very good Oilers team and an Edmonton team that loves to score. So they have three games until the All-Star break, and I think we're all curious to see how this thing is going to play out under John Hines when they'll have over a week off, and then they'll come back and close out the fourth month of the season. I mean, look, we're in the second half now, and now they have crawled back into this thing. Now can they keep the momentum going? They're only 3 points out from a wild card spot, so they're right back there, but they're going to have to string together wins.
Yep, they're absolutely going to have to continue to do it. Darren Donica Chase coming up top of the hour with the Preds and Titans news. You got the national championship game tonight as well. Darren McFarland, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, guys, thank you.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland there is. And hey, listen, we've seen positive things from this team in two games. Let's not go crazy yet. It's been good. The defense is better. He just mentioned all the positive things for the Nashville Predators. It's going to take a lot more than just a couple of games to start proving things. But you got to like what you've seen so far. You got Edmonton, Anaheim, and Buffalo, I believe, in the All-Star break. So we'll see what takes place. Toronto as well. So we'll see what takes place over the next couple of weeks. And they get the time off. What does he implement during the time off? All going to be interesting to see as, of course, the Nashville Predators attempt to work their way back into the playoffs. They are currently 10th place, but with two wins in the Central, they are now 5th in the Central Division. So the story, however, of the day and of the morning and maybe in the country in sports is the Tennessee Titans beating the Baltimore Ravens. The Green Bay Packers win, the Kansas City Chiefs win, and the San Francisco 49ers win. The only home team that did not win in the divisional round was the Baltimore Ravens. Ryan Tannehill was not asked to do a whole lot, but he made a couple of really big plays. And the question is, does this formula continue to work after what is one of the most memorable evenings in the history of this city on Saturday night? Titans win over the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get into the quarterback play when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. as Preds Insiders, Slapshot Radio, and Penalty Box Radio broadcast live at Cherokee Steakhouse at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon. Come by for a full night of Preds talk. Great food and drinks along with the chance to win some Preds prizes. Check that out. Again, the Preds 2 straight wins on the road in the division. They will go to Edmonton tomorrow evening. National championship tonight, of course, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, your official home for all the college football playoff games. LSU versus Clemson, and of course, Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow. And Derek, I've asked this question like a million times. We'll get to Ryan Tannehill in a second. I've asked this question a million times about when's the last time we saw a quarterback matchup like this? And even Chris Lowe, which I hate to throw him under the bus on this, but I'm going to add him to our group because we all miss this, including myself. Tua versus Trevor was pretty good going into the game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, from an like from the front end standpoint.
Yeah, it was.
I think... didn't work out, but...
Yeah, it didn't work out the way Alabama wanted it to. I'm trying to think of another one.
I mean, Vincent Leinart's the best one that I can think of after the fact.
Yeah. I thought Jameis and who did they play?
That was Nick Marshall.
Yeah, Nick Marshall. Yeah. Auburn.
Old Auburn. Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
Trey Mason.
Lucky Nick Marshall.
But Jameis, I guess, in the divisional round, I guess Jameis and Mariota.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a semifinal.
Yeah, semifinal. Yeah.
But that's two Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't think, other than that, I don't think there's been this sort of quarterback duel. Again, Fromm and
Baker.
Baker.
Yep.
And Jalen and Watson, because Jalen did win SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Watson.
It's weird. I still think nothing's come close to Trevor Lawrence and Tua.
But nothing's close to this, obviously.
But last year, I think last year is the one we just whiffed on. I whiffed on it. Like going into that game, it was all about Tua, not Trevor necessarily. And Trevor just lit him up, and we knew that was going to be a great matchup, and just didn't turn out to be a close game. Mm-hmm. Both quarterbacks are elite, though. I mean, they're both fantastic quarterbacks. This year it's different. These are the two number one overall picks probably the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference. So I just wanted to throw that out there because, again, I remember asking Chris Lowe that question and then immediately thinking, oh, wait a second, Tua and Trevor played last year in a championship game. I just think people have forgotten the game, of course, in this market as well because of what the Tennessee Titans did on Saturday evening. 28-12 over Lamar Jackson. Dean Pease and that defensive line were just absolutely exceptional. The game plan was exceptional to contain Lamar Jackson, to kind of keep him, they bunched up the middle. It was patient. They kept things in front of them. They were great tacklers. The defensive line made huge plays. Kamale Correa, Jarrell Casey, Jeffrey Simmons all made big plays. Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry. Three consecutive 30-carry games, 195 yards, a passing touchdown. Arthur Smith called a great game. But Ryan Tannehill, we have not talked a lot about his performance because he was sort of a piece of the puzzle. You don't really expect that out of a quarterback in a divisional round game in 2020, 2019 as an NFL fan. This is a game driven by quarterbacks as we watch Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes go head-to-head yesterday, and we watch Russell Wilson basically. And I think Mike Freeman tweeted this out from is he Bleacher now, I think? The Seahawks would be 0 for 4,000 without Russell Wilson. I think that's a fair – Russell Wilson, I think, is more valuable to his team than Lamar Jackson is even. Rodgers was great for Green Bay. Ryan Tannehill wasn't asked to do a whole lot, but he came through in huge spots when he needed to. He threw the touchdown to Jonnu Smith on a third down. He made the big play to Khalif Raymond. He ran the ball into the end zone when they needed him to. He picked up a couple of big third downs. He didn't ask to. He had seven completions. Like he did. He didn't. He wasn't asked to do a whole lot yesterday or Saturday night. That's the second game in a row. I don't know if it can be that way against Kansas City and win the game, but so far it's worked. Through two games, Derek. You don't need Tannehill to be 40. You know, he doesn't need to be these other guys. Mm-mm. They want to lean on their defense and Derrick Henry. So Ryan Tannehill, I think, has done an excellent job. He's going to get overlooked nationally because he hasn't been asked to do a whole lot.
Well, they're not going to. I mean, in an ideal world, the Titans want to throw the ball less or run it more. It's been evident the last 3 weeks. Ryan has thrown, 17 times, 11 times. I think it was 11 the other day, but he's thrown for 77 yards, 88 yards. But in those 88 yards, he's thrown two touchdowns. So they're not asking him to do much. Just don't turn the football over. And when we need you to make a play, when your number's dialed up, make a play and put us some points on the board. And then he, for all intents and purposes, Ryan's been able to do that because he knows that he has a heck of a running game behind him. What I do want to see is, because I don't think it's all his fault. I think if you look at the last two games, I don't think we can blame Ryan for not having as many completions or not having as many yards. His receivers just got to get open. and they are not getting open. They're not getting separation.
Two very good secondaries, by the way. New England and Baltimore.
And then even in this game, you know, last game they played, you know, A.J. Brown had one catch, I believe. The last time Kansas City played, A.J. Brown had one catch. Corey Davis didn't have many. That's when Sharp, he had a big game, I believe, in that game. I think he had two touchdowns in that game, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was that game or the Charger game. It was one of them. But these receivers got to start getting open if, you know, they've been able to win. And they can win Kansas City team game two with Ryan Tannehill, you know, throwing for 100 yards or less. But if that happens, then Derrick Henry has to be 200 yards rushing. That's just the way it is. Because if you look at both of the games they won, Derrick Henry was basically 200 yards rushing in both games. So if you're going to throw the ball like you're throwing it, then your run game has to make up for it. And it's up to the receivers. They got to take it upon themselves. They got to get open. They got to start getting separation. And anybody can play when guys are off of you. How do you play when guys are on you? And they got to help Ryan out. They really do. So we just look at Ryan Tannehill and we say, oh, he's not completing passes, whatever. But it falls on the receivers, too. They got to get open, and they just hadn't gotten open. Well, at least they hadn't got much separation these last two games.
Well, and he made – I remember one play down around the red zone on one – I can't remember which drive it was, either to go up 21-6 or go up 28-6, but there was a third and 7 or 8, and he throws a little short, you know, 5-yard pass to A.J. Brown, who makes one guy miss and then dives forward for the first down sort of pretty calmly and casually. And I'm going, well, that's a pretty nice play there in a critical situation by the quarterback and the receiver where it wasn't a big play, it wasn't a wow play, but it's one of those you've got to make if you're going to win games. And on the road against a team like Baltimore, you got to do all the little things. And again, I think it was a perfect game. I don't think the Titans can play a more perfect game. Now, you might have to do it again against Kansas City, but as I came away from the game trying to figure out who to give credit, you know, we walk out of games and we go, oh, who gets credit? Who gets the blame? Did the Ravens choke? Did the Titans win? Was it the defense? Was it Derrick Henry? And I think it was everything for the Titans. I think Arthur Smith called a brilliant game with just enough gimmick, but mostly just what do we do well? What's our identity? You know, Ryan Tannehill made just enough plays, and he was asked to only do a few things and just make a couple of plays, manage what he did. He attempted 14 passes, but the offensive line only gave up one sack and ran the ball for 217 yards. The defensive line was exceptional and made huge plays. I mean, Dean Pease designed a scheme that held Lamar Jackson to 12 points, the lowest total of his entire career. The only other team to keep Lamar Jackson under 20 points was the Chargers last year in the playoffs. They've scored 20 points every time Lamar Jackson has started, and they held him to 12. So, again, pick a guy that you want to – even Greg Joseph had a touchback on Saturday night. How about that? You know it's a complete team effort when the Titans special teams are contributing touchbacks finally to this team. Terry wants to chime in Baltimore. Terry, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Congratulations to the Titans. When I first heard – I've had season tickets for the Ravens since I came here in 96. And me and a couple friends flew down, and when we won the Super Bowl in 2000 to the Titans playoff game, and you folks are really great people, really nice, friendly, good restaurants. And the first thought that I received when I heard the Titans were in the playoffs was, oh, my God, they're going to come here seeking revenge. Oh, God, I hope it's just in my head. But I was right. I want to congratulate all the fans there. And, you know, I always loved playing the Titans when you guys used to come here to Baltimore. And you guys will be back in the 2020 season here in Baltimore. And that should be one hell of a game.
Oh, yeah. You can bet it, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, you can imagine that game is going to be big. I will say this, though. I think it matters to the fans that it was revenge against Baltimore and that Baltimore stole their soul in 2000 and then again in 2008. I don't think it matters to the players. The players, none of these guys were even around in 1999 or 2000 or 01. Like some of these guys are barely even born. like they're real young, you know. Jeffrey Simmons is like, what, 22 years old or whatever? So I don't think it matters as much to the players. I don't think that history resonates with the players. I think they looked at a really great team and said, we got to go win a football game. And that's, I don't think it's about the history. For the fans, it matters. Mm-hmm. For the fans, there's retribution. There's, like he's saying, you know, there's this history. But I don't think it's that way for the players.
Nah, they have no, you know, they have no recollection on, you know, how, this rivalry in regards to them playing in it. And you know, to them it's Baltimore, and this is a game they got to win. So, you know, none of these guys on this team, none of them have played Baltimore no more than two times in a Ravens uniform, meaning a Titans uniform. So, you know, them, there's nothing they can take from, you know, 2000's loss or, you know, 2008's loss. There's nothing they can take from that. What they look at is, you know, how do we play against this team last year, and how do we, you know, move forward, and how do we play against this team this year? Granted, both teams are different. You know, they were facing Joe Flacco and a different offense than they faced this past weekend. So there was nothing, I don't think, tangible this team can pull from in regards to, oh, this is revenge. No, it's not revenge. It's just winning another game and moving yourself closer to, you know, the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl. Now, fans, of course, they're going to always look back and say, well, they beat us in 2000 and stole our Super Bowl year and, you know, whatnot. But you can say, you know, or then 08, oh, they stole our Super Bowl year. And that's the year we were the number one seed and we started off 10-0. Yeah, you could say all that stuff, but fans, if Titans had lost this game, what happened in 2008 wouldn't have meant a hell of beans, honestly. But we, you know, Titans won it, and they didn't, you know, I'm sure they probably brought it up when media was asked about it. But I'm pretty sure this is not what Taylor Lewan and, you know, Saffo and Ryan, and they're looking back, oh, we got him back for 08. Y'all weren't even part of the team in 08. Matter of fact, y'all weren't even in the NFL.
You were in, like, high school.
Exactly. So
Taylor Lewan's 28 years old. How old was he 12 years old?
He was at Michigan.
16 years old. He was 16 years old.
He wasn't even at Michigan.
He was in high school.
High school. So, you know, but, you know, but when you have been a number one seed, each time the number one seed has lost in this rivalry.
That's true.
Or the higher seed has lost in this rivalry. Let's just put it that way.
That is true. And the number one seed in college football has never won the national championship in the college football playoff era. LSU will attempt to do that this evening. We'll get our quick final thoughts on that game, as ESPN, of course, is your official home for the college football playoff. Clemson and LSU tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
USS, and who are they? Well, they're United Structural System, and it's a foundation and repair company waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers, and here are some of their highlights. The quality is excellent. The reputation is stellar. Expertise, you got to have that, and their integrity is impeccable. That's a few of the selling points. Also, they give you a free estimate. It's locally owned. It's not some chain service that they give you. Again, it's a waterproofing company, foundation of waterproofing company, and they've been serving here since 1994. They are licensed and insured, and that is critical when you want to have somebody do work at your house. This is not a franchise. Again, it's a custom solution to meet homeowners' needs. And their slogan, or their saying, is this: we guarantee our best, so call USS. So why not give them a call? Here's the number, 615-227-2275, or go online, USSTN.com.
This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. What a weekend for Nashville sports fans. You got the national championship coming up tonight. I hope that it lives up to what this weekend has delivered for you folks in Nashville, because, again, I was at a wedding Saturday night, and as someone who's lived in this town since the Titans arrived, I love seeing my town do well, just on a personal note. But all of my family, my in-laws are all Titans fans. All of their friends and family are Titans fans, and we were all in the first half, in the first quarter, just losing our minds so much so that I think all the wives were asking, where did all the men go at the wedding during the first quarter? I missed the second half of the wedding. Unfortunately, I had to take my young daughter home because it was time for her to go to bed. It allowed me then to sit down and settle in to watch the second half. And frankly, it's one of the most amazing and miraculous football games I've ever seen in this city and with a team in this town. So
this is why I tell people, man, look, don't invite me anywhere until like June. Like June, right. June is the month. I'm free. I'm free all June. You have me all June.
A little bit of May, maybe some of July.
First week of July, because SEC Media Days. Yeah. So before SEC Media Days, you can. I'm free all June. Free.
I've taken my wife and I have taken little mini vacations almost every August, like the first weekend in August, and then we do stuff like you, Marquise. Like it's May and June is the only time to really get free. Especially considering what the Preds can accomplish, as we saw that a couple years ago.
Well, it's also NBA Finals, too, so I have to I take off for that and Stanley Cup and all that other good stuff. So, yeah, June.
So the college football season ends tonight, and hopefully it culminates a great weekend. As we said, Pecorine scores his first goal in his career. A really cool moment on Thursday night against Chicago, which is even cooler that it happened in that building. And then the Titans pull one of the biggest upsets in NFL history in a playoff game. Certainly one of the biggest upsets in franchise history as they play in only their third AFC championship game ever, and first one since 2002. Going to be an epic showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs next weekend. The Preds win yesterday, but the Clemson Tigers and the LSU Tigers, and Derek, you called this from the beginning. You said, listen, I like LSU. I like them to beat Bama. I think LSU's the team. I've had Clemson basically all season along with Georgia. Got Georgia wrong. You got LSU right, and it culminates tonight between two of the best quarterbacks we've seen in college football, best seasons we've seen in college football. I am now switching officially to LSU. I'll take the LSU version of the Tigers. I'm sure New Orleans is on fire right now at 9:34 a.m. Central Time. I'm sure that entire city is intoxicated and ready to go tonight for what should be a spectacular game that you can hear right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it should be a good game. If it doesn't turn out to be a good game, I think a lot of people will be upset if it turns out to be, which I don't think it will. An Oklahoma-esque game, I think people would be truly disappointed. Well, LSU fans won't, but I think the public, viewing public in general, would be disappointed. I don't think it's going to go that route. Even if it's a low-scoring game, as long as it's a good game, I think people, and frankly, I think the television networks would love for it to be a back-and-forth thing between Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Because, you know, obviously these are unless something drastic or dramatic happens, these are the, you know, two number one picks in the next 2 years. Now, granted, it all depends on who's picking. But even with that, I don't see how you can pass up either Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence in a draft.
I mean, how stupid does Cincinnati have to be to not take Ohio boy Joe Burrow?
Yeah, that would be just
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so, I mean, this LSU team has just been remarkable, especially the last, you know, 2 weeks of the season. They gave up 7 points against A&M. They gave up 10 against Georgia. They gave up, 14, somewhere around there, against Oklahoma. This defense has been playing good. And
that's been the difference.
Yeah, and when they had to play staunch defenses, Alabama, Florida, Auburn, Georgia, they put up over 30, you know, in two of them, they put up over 30 points. And they managed to win the Auburn game and the other. So this will be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. The jitters, they're going to happen early on. But I think second quarter, things will start to settle down for both teams. But I just think LSU, I think they are the better team from top to bottom. When you're talking all 22 starters and a few backups, I think they're the better team. Do they have the better quarterback? I mean, I don't know. It's splitting hairs between the two guys. But based on this year, I would, you know, Joe Burrow. But, you know, again, it's just splitting hairs with these two guys.
Yep, absolutely. So, and it'll be fascinating to watch. Because again, I'm just hopeful that it's a close game. I just want it to be a good game, because if it is, it will be historically good. If it's bad, it'll just be another game that we all look at and it'll go, oh, Clemson did it to Bama last year, and you know, USC did it to Oklahoma, and whatever. It'll just go down as another late night, you know, college football championship. And LSU will deserve the credit, and Coach O will earn the legacy, and Joe Burrow will arguably put together the best college football season in the history of college football if he wins tonight. And so there's a ton there for LSU fans. Or if Clemson pulls a blowout, I guess you could argue that as well. Trevor Lawrence, back-to-back national championships as a freshman and a sophomore, that's unprecedented territory as well. So there is legacy stuff on the line tonight in a blowout. I just think that we're all going to be a little upset if it doesn't turn into a decent football game, because if it is close, I imagine it will be epically, historically good. So again, if Clemson can just get some stops, all they need is a couple of stops. If Clemson gets a couple of stops, I think they can hang in the game and they can keep it close, and their experience will play and it can be a close game in the end. I worry about their defensive backs in man coverage, because Brent Venables likes to be aggressive on defense, and I don't know if they can cover those dudes. I just don't. I don't know. And no one has so far this year. I don't know why they – I mean, listen, Clemson's great, so I wouldn't put it past them, but the old spread buster there, Brent Venables, I don't know. We'll see. So that game coming up tonight, of course, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 94.9 Game 2, ESPN Radio, of course, your home for all things college football playoff officially here in Music City. The Titans do beat the Baltimore Ravens 28-12, and, you know, I've tried to draw college football comparisons, and I would argue Joe Burrow and Tannehill have some similar comparisons. Just sort of passed over at Ohio State, right? Doesn't get the starting nod. Is brought to LSU. Nobody expects anything of him. And now he has the greatest season, arguably, in college football history. Tannehill was forgotten. Miami paid $5 million and some change to get rid of him to come to Nashville. John Robinson made probably the best and most important move of any NFL team in 2019 to go get Ryan Tannehill. And Mike Vrabel probably made the most important coaching decision of any team in 2019 to bench Marcus Mariota and start Ryan Tannehill. And that is in large part why we are sitting here talking about the Tennessee Titans going to the AFC Championship game, one win away from the stinking Super Bowl. It is still impossible to think about that.
Yeah, that is...
It's another dimension, dude.
It's... You would have never, based upon how the season started, you would have never thought that they would be in this position, one game shy of the Super Bowl. But it's the NFL, and, you know, it all depends on when you get on that hot streak. If some teams, you know, start off fast and they fizzle out, some teams, you know, start off slow and they kind of pick up steam. Well, Tennessee was that team that started off slow and they picked up steam. And they've been playing really well since inserting Ryan Tannehill into the starting lineup. They've been able to put up points. And when they haven't been able to put up points, i.e. the playoffs, I mean, that put up points throwing the ball, i.e. the playoffs, they've been able to do it via the run game. So it's hard to beat a team when they can, you know, if you somehow, some way take away the running game, Ryan Tannehill has shown that he can beat you in a passing game. But I don't see anyone taking away that running game no time soon.
Yeah, certainly not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they're going to continue to play. I think Derrick Henry had, 140 yards the first time, two touchdowns. But even with that, that's the thing. He had to, Ryan Tannehill had to make plays in the passing game. So if it's around that 150, then you got to, that's when Ryan needs to make plays in the passing game. But if he gets over 150, yeah, that's when
you're good to go.
Exactly.
Yep. He had 23 carries for 188 yards and two touchdowns against Kansas City this year. Of course, in the playoff game, 23 carries, 156 yards, and a touchdown, and was a huge part of the comeback along with Mariota at that time. Now, that was against Alex Smith, a very different defense. Travis Kelce was knocked out in the first half by Jonathan Cyprian. This will be a very different team. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid is in. How many conference championship games has Andy Reid now been to? Mm-hmm. This has got to be like his sixth or seventh. It's insane. So, listen, we got all week to break this down. So we will be talking Titans and Chiefs. The AFC championship game. I cannot stinking believe it. On the other side, of course, you've got Green Bay going to San Francisco. Both of these games will be rematches. The Packers got smoked by San Francisco earlier in the year. And, of course, the Titans beat the Chiefs 35-32 in Nissan Stadium a couple of months ago as part of the beginning process of this Ryan Tannehill thing that is now a 9-3 record for Tannehill as a starter and a trip to the AFC Championship game. The big finish when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, all alive after a spectacular Titans win on Saturday evening. I know, Munson, you were out. You had a thing you had to be at, a company gathering, and you got to see the game. I was at a wedding, got to see the game. So everybody got to catch what took place on Saturday night in historic fashion. The Titans win 28-12, and they get to the AFC Championship game, holding Lamar Jackson to a career low 12 points. Let's rewind it back, Munson, before the end of this show. How about that? Oh, that is right. Big hugs, tiny kisses. The Tennessee Titans will play for the AFC Championship on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs after the Chiefs made a huge comeback on Sunday afternoon and finished with a 51-7 run against the Houston Texans after falling behind 21-0. The Kansas City Chiefs will host the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. I have repeated that sentence in my head for about, 36 hours now, and I still can't actually believe that I'm saying it. The Tennessee Titans are 60 minutes away from the stinking Super Bowl. It is another dimension we are living in currently in 2020. Welcome to the show. Good Monday morning.
I said it jokingly, but I'm kind of serious about this, that we need a Dean Pease statue outside of Nissan Stadium, and I want it immediately. Stop building hotels. Stop building apartments downtown. We need to stop all that immediately, and we need a Dean Pease statue right now.
Corey Curtis joining us here.
What he's doing now is incredible. I mean, he flipped a switch at the end of last season, and we all asked all offseason long, which Derrick Henry are we going to see? Is he going to be the one that finished the year, or is he going to be the guy that he was the first 2.5 years? And it was neither, because it's a guy who's even better. I mean, he is so much better than he was to even finish last year. He has been, this battering ram that, and the speed, is unbelievable. But just to watch him hit the line and to watch him own defenses. I mean, this is Baltimore. It's freaking Baltimore. You're in Baltimore. They play defense, and they know he's coming, and they can't do anything about it. This is his team. By that, I mean, when you think of this team now, he's the identity of this team. He is what you think of with this football team. He's that Reggie Jackson straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he's it. And, you got to do it for more than 1.25 seasons. But I think it's going to be fun to watch what happens the next few years. Because we started the year, with him playing well, and we're thinking, how much is it going to cost to bring him back next year? And we're like, okay, probably like $6 to $8 million. And then the year kind of goes on, and that number keeps going up. And now you're wondering, is he going to have to be the highest paid running back in football? Because that's a real possibility.
Chris Lowe joining us here from ESPN to talk about the national championship game.
Clemson's going to win this game. And everybody asks, what's the one thing that's got to happen? They have got to make LSU kick field goals in the red zone, which is what they did. That's the reason they beat Ohio State. They have got to make them kick some field goals down there. And that's key. I don't think he's going to stop them, because you talk about both these backs and both these teams are capable of beating a couple of different ways. Running the football, they're both tough, can run between the tackles, they both catch the football out of the backfield, so you've got some versatility. But if we look back at this game this time tomorrow and Clemson has won, I'll bet there's going to be multiple possessions that LSU had the ball in the red zone where they had to kick field goals to first score touchdowns. I think that, to me, is absolutely one thing that's got to happen for Clemson to win.
Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host of Darren Dunnick and Chase.
Obviously, the play in front of the net has been better. Goaltending play has been better. Defense has been better. Maybe yesterday was a sign that special teams is getting better penalty kill-wise, because Winnipeg is very good on the power play. You know, they only had two cracks at it, but, I mean, it's trending upwards. It's a small sample. It looks good. We'll see how they can finish up this road trip in Edmonton tomorrow night against a very good Oilers team, Edmonton team that loves to score. So they have three games until the All-Star break, and I think we're all curious to see how this thing is going to play out under John Hines when they'll have over a week off, and then they'll come back and close out the fourth month of the season. I mean, look, we're in the second half now, and now they have crawled back into this thing. Now can they keep the momentum going? They're only 3 points out from a wild card spot, so they're right back there, but they're going to have to string together wins.
So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away.
Chicken!
Marshawn Lynch, everybody. Maybe he's back, maybe he's not. Who cares? That's the big finish there on Morning Drive. Take care of your mentals, take care of your bread, take care of your chicken. That means take care of your bodies, take care of all that stuff. It's good advice from Marshawn. I'm not going to lie. I love watching Marshawn Lynch play. I love listening to him talk. I'm glad to see his team lose yesterday. I'm sorry, Seahawks fan. I'm a Packers fan. So I'm not that sorry, actually, at all.
Well... Seahawks put in a valiant effort. They just didn't win. Came down to Aaron Rodgers making a play, and he made it. That's what happens.
That is exactly what happens. So. And the Titans made a bunch of plays on Saturday night, of course. 28-12 as they defeat the Baltimore Ravens as a 10.5-point underdog. Again, some random stats. Ryan Tannehill does not throw for 100 yards in either of his two playoff games. He's now 2-0 as a starter. Lamar Jackson, 12 points, his career low as a starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens in 25 games. He is now 0-2 as a starting quarterback. Derrick Henry, 588 yards, I believe, rushing in three games in winner-go-home situations, five total touchdowns, 96 carries, 6.1 yards per carry. Only the third trip to the AFC Championship game for the Tennessee Titans. They will return there for the first time since 2002, where they lost to the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, this is just, I mean, as they go to Kansas City, there's history here with not only these two franchises. They played recently in the playoffs. They played this year. Mike Vrabel played for the Kansas City Chiefs as the revenge tour for the Tennessee Titans. Sorry, Kyle Van Noy. It's actually the Titans who are on the revenge tour as they defeat Mike Vrabel's former employer, the Houston Texans, to get into the playoffs. They defeat basically everyone's former employer, the New England Patriots, in the first round on the road to go up there and win. And then they defeat the arch nemesis of the Titans fan base and Dean Pee's former employer, the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, by the way, Kamale Correa, former Raven as well, with a big sack of Lamar Jackson. So now you've got Vrabel's former team, Kansas City, and then you've got maybe, potentially, as this guy can dream, Mike Vrabel's former assistant and first offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, could be his opponent in the Super Bowl. Now, both of those teams, Green Bay and Tennessee, are heavy underdogs, but it's possible. And since I was 16 years old, and I'm 15 years old when I moved here, my dream has always been to see a Titans-Packers Super Bowl. And who knows? It's close. It's closer than it's ever been before in my lifetime. So it's going to be fascinating to watch this.
Where are you guys leaning tonight?
I've got LSU 41-35, and I hope it's that close.
Wow. I'm going to go LSU, but I'm going to go close. I'm going to go it's going to be a six-point game at least. Two field goals, maybe a touchdown. I'm going to go LSU.
Well, if it's that, then, you know, the networks will love it. It was a close game. LSU by 10. I don't know what the score is going to be, but LSU will win by 10.
That's covering, I believe. That's covering the spread. What's that number at right now, Marquise? Do you know? I want to say it opened at like 6.5, and it got bigger as the number went along. But it's just such a weird thing. The game has been so out of sight, out of mind for so many people. And then the Titans do what they've done. They've won two playoff games since these two teams last played. It's been crazy. So it really has been a wild weekend. And of course, the Preds get a win yesterday over Winnipeg, 1-0 with a shutout, two straight wins in the division. So, you know, listen, look at the Grizzlies. John Morant is crushing people right now. They won, what, five straight in the Western Conference? Jaja's doing his thing out there in Memphis. So you got the Grizzlies playing well. The Preds are maybe turning it around. The Titans are doing historically epic things. And you got a national championship tonight. No big deal. We'll be back tomorrow, Morning Drive, to discuss all things college football championship game and to start looking ahead at the Kansas City Chiefs. For Derek Mason, I'm Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.